Thank you for that. Be turning in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Easy passage to find. Genesis chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 3. We're going to take a little stroll through the world's first cemetery. Scripture says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And notice, and he died." And the Bible says in verse 18, "And Jared lived 162 years. And he begat Enoch, and Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enos lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat sons and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, 'This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed.' And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth." Now, although we'd have to read on a little bit, let me tell you about them. They died. They died. You say, why? Well, Genesis chapter 3 tells us why. "But since then, men have been dying and not living near as long. And there are scientific reasons for that. I don't have any doubt these years are totally accurate in everything that is stated here in the Word of God. God knows what went on. God knows how many years that they lived. To me, Methuselah is the interesting one, because Methuselah died in the year of the flood. Did he die in the flood? Don't know. Probably not. But nevertheless, of Noah, the Bible says, he found grace in the sight of the Lord. It may seem strange, but I love walking through old cemeteries. By the way, I don't worry about ghosts. No such thing as ghosts. There are demons, but the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world." Now, the world has taught you all kinds of false things about ghosts. Listen, when people die, they don't stay around and haunt anything. They go to either heaven or hell, period. How do you know that? I know that because the Bible teaches that. But I love walking in old cemeteries, and because even the dates tell a story, even when there's not much else that is put down there. Every once in a while, some folks will have some kind of epitaph. I was reading the other day. Many of you remember the name Mel Blanc. Mel Blanc did the voice. He was known as the man of 10,000 voices. And he did the voice for Porky Pig, Elmer Fudd, for that Waskily Wabbit, Bugs Bunny. He just did Daffy Duck. He did thousands of voices. And on his tombstone, it reads today. That's all, folks. In another place, there was a man by the name of John Yeast. And on it, it says, "Forgive me for not rising." Some of you need to get it quick because I need to move on. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, in one of the cemeteries, a man has an epitaph on his tombstone that says, "I came here without being consulted and I leave without my consent." Now, my favorite cemetery to go through of all the cemeteries that I've been in is over in England. As a matter of fact, it is the Robert the Bruce Church. Now, some of you know something of Robert the Bruce. For those of you who backslid and saw Braveheart, I never did. But what you don't know is that story is not historically accurate in a number of ways. From what I have read, Mel Gibson wears a kilt in that. And the kilt was not invented until a year later when men started wearing skirts. Anyway. But Robert the Bruce Church is in Dunfermline Abbey, Fife County, Scotland, near the Firth of Forth. That's hard to say fast three times. And in that cemetery, there are a number of extremely old graves with really gigantic headstones on them. As a matter of fact, there was one particular one had four or five paragraphs that were written about the man. There was a preacher that was there, and they engraved a whole lot on his tombstone. But you're talking about people dying back in the 1400s and 1500s and 1600s in that cemetery, and it's a history lesson just to walk through there. But to me, one of the most impressive places to go to is the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Washington, D.C. Now, you might look it up. I can't go through the qualifications during this service of all the qualifications that must be met in order to be one of the soldiers guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. But it is a very somber place, as well it should be. What amazes me, seeing some of the videos that I have seen of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, is how some careless, thoughtless Americans have gone there joking and laughing. And by the way, to do that at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, you are going to be rebuked by the guard. You try to get too close, or you try to step over the railing to get close to it, that guard will stop you quickly and see to it you get back to the other side. And they don't mince any words when they do that. Those guards, by the way, of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, they are marching all the time. I mean, it makes no difference if it's a great thunderstorm, if it's a great snowstorm. No matter what goes on, that guard is there protecting the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. These people that guard the tomb must sign statements about different qualifications that they will meet throughout the remainder of their life in order to guard that tomb for the brief time that they get to do it. It is an impressive place. So this is Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, we honor those who have died for their country. And we thank the Lord for their sacrifice. Otherwise, we would not have the freedom that we have today. It'd be scary to think if it hadn't been for the American Doughboy or the Americans of World War II, what kind of a nation we would have been brought up in. For truly, they bailed the world out of a lot of trouble. Now, I'm glad that we don't have to be ignorant about death. We have had to face death as a people, as humans, throughout our existence. Because back in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world." Now get this. "And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I don't care what technological advances that mankind has made, he still has to die. You know, there for a while, back in the 70s and 80s and part of the 90s, there were people having their heads chopped off when they died so they could be brought back to life when the technology, not happening. Not going to happen. For the Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Well, let me mention a few things about death today. And first of all, there is the certainty of death. You can count on it. These people say, man, they lived a long, long time. Yeah, but they died. They died. Some people don't even live to 10. But I got news for you. One thing we know about everybody here, you're going to die. You say, well, preacher, that's not pleasant. We come to church on Sunday to be encouraged. Hey, God warned you about it ahead of time. You're going to die. And I want you to get this. Young and old die. Now, not like one priest or monk tried to explain. I heard about some people that were visiting different cathedrals over in Europe. And they had, these visitors had been to one cathedral that claimed that they had the head of the Apostle Paul. And then they went to another cathedral and that monk said that they had the head of the Apostle Paul. And they said, no, wait just a minute. We were just at a cathedral. They said they had the head of the Apostle Paul. Now you're saying you've got it. He said, well, ours was when he was a boy. But you understand, young and old die. My cousin Ed was 31 years old when he passed away. He was living at that time down in Birmingham, Alabama. He and his wife were expecting their first child. I think she was about 5 months along. He was bowling. He was in the 10th frame of the first game. And he threw the ball down the lane, came back, sat down in a chair, put his head back and was gone. 31 years old. Far as they knew, there weren't any health problems. But he died. I think about the 15-year-old pitcher on a baseball team up in Tennessee, struck by lightning while they were playing. He died. Think about the 14-year-old young man that was a member of our church when I pastored in Tennessee Ridge. He was riding his motorbike, came around a turn, and unfortunately got too close to the shoulder of the road. And when he did, he went off the road and flew and hit a tree full on with his chest, and he died. Some of you remember the Crumptons who sang for us in one of our super conferences. Tremendous family, tremendous singers, great kids. Their 15-year-old son, the first time that the Crumptons were with us, just the year before, their 15-year-old son was playing basketball. And he died on the court. Looked healthy, all of that. I'm just simply telling you, young and old die. Rich and poor die. We make a big deal out of people having lots of money, but it doesn't keep them from death. The richest men in the world have died. And the ones who are rich today, guess what? They're going to die as well. Not going to keep them from money just simply does not do it. Healthy and unhealthy people die. I've told you about the man who wrote the book, Running Your Way to Health and a Long Life. He died at the age of 52 while he was running. He thought, that'd take care of it. Well, hey, I got news for you. Vegans die. Everybody dies. Understand that. Everybody dies. During the time of COVID, it's funny, nobody died of the flu or pneumonia. Everybody died of COVID-19. That was strange how that happened, that died. You'll remember, of course, when it first started sweeping across the land, we were told that 2.5 million Americans were going to die. We were practically promised by certain ones, and I'll not mention names, that 2.5 million people were going to die. Now, the number right now is below 600,000. Thank God it was quite a bit less. But even the people that got it that didn't die are still going to die one day. Everybody dies. During the time of the pandemic when a lot of people were dying, you remember there were some people who were prime candidates to die who lived. There was a 104-year-old woman who lived. 98-year-old man who lived. Shouldn't have had a chance, but they lived. Meanwhile, people in their 30s died. Some people who had respiratory problems lived. Some people who seemed to be perfectly healthy before they got the COVID died. They don't know who was going to die. They did not know who was going to die and who wasn't going to die. I'm just simply saying healthy and unhealthy people die. I got news for you. People that get on Peloton, they're going to die too. Some of them, the machine itself has taken them out. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they had to withdraw their advertising for a little while and they had to call some of their machines in. It's amazing how many of these really, really healthy people end up going out early because of some accident. But dangerous and safe men die. Now, I'm one of those people. I'm not jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. It's just not going to happen. To me, that makes absolutely no sense. Not going to happen. I'm not going to bungee jump. It's not going to happen. I don't see any sense in it, just to make a bit of sense. But you get in the Bible and you find here's King David. King David was king for 40 years. And before that, he was even a soldier in Saul's army. And we find him very dangerous in combat over and over again. But he lived to 70. I mean, he was in combat where people were seeking to kill him alone. But he lived a good long life. In Luke chapter 12, there's a man who had barns built so he could eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." He wasn't doing anything dangerous. Just simply saying, all men die. I read about Diane Dure in Chambers, Nebraska, April the 2nd, 2009. She had talked to somebody on the phone and had made a deal about selling something to them. So she went to the Taco Bell in North Platte, Nebraska, was sitting in the parking lot waiting for that person she was selling the item to. And while she was waiting, a 40-mile-an-hour, 40-mile, I didn't say 140, a 40-mile-an-hour gust came to their area. It broke the Taco Bell sign. It fell on the cab of her truck and killed her. Now, you would think she was safe enough. She wasn't out on the road where the drunks and the dopers were at. She wasn't out there where the speeders were at. She was sitting in the parking lot of the Taco Bell and went out into eternity. I just want to tell you, there is the certainty of death. People die. Now, I preach that even when I preach funerals, by the way. The problem is at a funeral, very few people are paying attention. You know, their thoughts are about the person that is being honored at the funeral, the person that died and their feelings toward them. But now you might say, why so much? Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But there is an alternative. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a marvelous truth. I quoted Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Why death? Go back to Adam and Eve. That's why death. God makes it plain. All the medicine in the world is not going to stop people from dying. They're going to die because of sin. As a matter of fact, if you keep your hand here and go over to the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. New Testament, of course. Notice in Romans chapter 3, Scripture says, beginning in verse 19, he says, and I need to get to the right chapter. Here you go. Verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that not every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." I want you to get that. The law of God tells us we've all broken it. We have sinned against the holy God of heaven. Now, wait, we go on. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Doesn't make any difference who you are, where you're at on the economic scale, where you're at as far as race is concerned or intelligence is concerned. It's the same for everybody. There is no difference. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And because that, death is coming your way. So there is the certainty of death. But that's not all. There's also the uncertainty of death. You say, no, wait a second, preacher, that doesn't even make sense. You talk about we're all going to die. That's a certain thing. What's the uncertainty of death? It's this. When? You don't know when you're going to die. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be 20 years from now. It might be 70 years from now or even 80. But I can guarantee this, you're going to die. There is only one exception to that, by the way, and that's those who are saved and are alive when Jesus comes back to catch his saved out. But if that doesn't happen soon, you're going to die. You say, well, what about this when? Proverbs 27:1, the Bible declares, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14, the Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. In Proverbs 29:1, he says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Some of you remember back in 2004, 17 years ago. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. You remember on December the 27th, 2004, the tsunami that hit Southeast Asia and that whole area. Hundreds of thousands went out into eternity. They didn't need a pandemic, and it happened quick. It happened in one day. I still remember some of those videos. Some people standing out there as the water first went out. And standing out there looking like they didn't understand what was coming next. And when the water came in, it came all the way to shore, destroyed buildings. And you see bodies and debris floating all over. Those people didn't plan to die. As a matter of fact, there were a lot of people that were in Southeast Asia places on vacation. There were even families from Huntsville, Alabama, in that area on vacation. They didn't plan death. They weren't looking to die. But that's the uncertainty of death. How many times people playing sports have dropped dead? People on the highway killed by drunk drivers or a car swerving across the road. Matter of fact, I read not too long ago about a tire coming off of some 18-wheeler. No, it wasn't an 18-wheeler. It was a big cement-type truck that came off the vehicle, rolled across the median, up over the divider, smashed right into a car and killed the driver coming the other way. They weren't doing anything wrong. They didn't know that. I guarantee you they'd have canceled their trip wherever they were going if they'd known they were going to die that day. But the uncertainty of it is you don't know when. I've shared this one with you before. But one of my favorites is a man by the name of Carlos Umbas. He lived in Pampango, Philippines. He was fishing. And he got tired while he was fishing and he had a big yawn. He just like that, and a fish jumped out of the water into his mouth, lodged in his throat, and he died. It's another reason for me not to go fishing. So what's the chances of that? Doesn't change the fact that he died. As it is appointed unto man, wants to die after this judgment. In 2009, there was a 28-year-old woman from Sacramento, California. Her first name was Jennifer. I won't give her last name. She succumbed, and when I first saw the term, I didn't understand it, but she succumbed to water intoxication while trying to win a Nintendo Wii from a radio station, KDND. By the way, the frequency was 107.9, which for those of you that know, that is the frequency of our radio station here at Madison Baptist Church. But it wasn't us, it was somebody out in Sacramento. They were having a promotion. Now, this is amazing. The theme for their promotion was hold your Wii for a Wii. They had to drink a bunch of water and not go to the bathroom. And the one who lasted the longest was the one who would win the wee. Well, she died. There are several comments I can make concerning that, but I'm not going to. You understand that when it comes to death, it really doesn't matter how you die, you're dead. I don't care if you talk about bows and arrows or knives or atomic bombs. You can talk about guns and all that. When you die, no matter how you die, you're dead. Unfortunately, that's not the end. Because then comes eternity. So the uncertainty of death is you don't know when. But let me give you the words of Job in Job chapter 14 and verse 5. It says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. God has appointed the day you're going to die. You can't pass it, period. I do believe that the only thing I can change is my quality of life. But I can't change how long. There was a lady in Alabama several years ago now. I remember reading the story. Tornado warnings, one of our regular type of tornado warnings was going on, and one was coming her way. I mean, it was a warning. It wasn't a watch. She could hear it. She could see the clouds. She got out of her house and she went down and got into the tornado shelter that they had outside. When that tornado came through, it did not touch the house, but it did pick up a tree and throw part of that tree through the door of the window shelter, or of the tornado shelter, and killed her. I'd say the alarm had been set, whether in the house or in the shelter. It was her day to go. So you've got the certainty of death. You've got the uncertainty of death. But then you've got this, and that is the certainty of judgment. For as it is appointed unto die, unto man once to die after this judgment. Paul is preaching in Acts chapter 17. He said, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. God says the proof that everyone's going to have to face judgment is that the tomb is empty, that Christ rose from the dead. So you better get ready, because judgment is coming. This is serious. The Bible says, so then every one of us should give account of himself to God. You're not going to go up there and start talking about everybody else and how they weren't what they ought to be. So therefore, that was your excuse for you not to be what you ought to be. You're going to give an account for yourself to God. The rich man and Lazarus, Jesus talked about. The rich man died and was buried in hell. He lifted up his eyes being in torment. There's no extra time to repent after that. No extra time to get right with God, to take Christ as Savior. In the Scripture, there are two major judgments. There's the great white throne judgment, which everybody who's not been born again, everybody who's not been saved, is going to have to stand at the great white throne judgment and hear those awful words, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, someone might be saying, well, preacher, sounds like you're trying to scare me into heaven. Well, if it'll get you to Jesus, I'm willing to do it. The whole reason I got saved back in 1971 as a country western disc jockey in Otsego, Michigan, was I heard the gospel about Jesus dying for my sins on the cross of Calvary, and that he was buried, and that he rose 3 days later from the dead, and that he'd save me if I took him as my Savior. And in the fall of 1971, at that radio station, I bowed my head and I called on Christ to save me from my sins. Why? I didn't want to go to hell. I had no plans of being a preacher. Man, we didn't even go to church regularly. We weren't faithful. I wasn't brought up in church. Now, when he saved me, he changed my life completely. But the point is this. Everyone who dies without Jesus is going to have to stand at the great white throne judgment to be cast into the lake of fire. Jesus made it plain. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he said, marvel not, saying to you, you must be born again. So if you die lost, it's the lake of fire. That's the certainty of judgment. But if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account for the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. Just read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Thank God, because I'm saved, I don't have to worry about going to hell. But I am going to stand before Jesus and give an account for how I've lived my Christian life. The certainty of judgment. No excuses, no self-justification, no slick lawyer is going to step in and say, this isn't fair. You see, Jesus is the faithful and true witness. You must be born again. So there's the certainty of death, the uncertainty of death, the certainty of judgment, and the certainty of eternity. Jesus said in John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen, we don't preach heaven to make people feel better about death. We preach heaven because it's real. Jesus said so. And Jesus said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. You see, he's not a liar. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Only in Jesus Christ can you have eternal life. It is certain. So the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, this is the record. God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Then he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. When the Philippian jailer fell down before Paul and Silas and he cried out, what must I do to be saved? Paul's answer was plain. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Dr. R.A. Torrey, preacher back in the latter part of the 1800s, first part of the 1900s, in one of his messages was preaching on a gambler. And he talked about a man who had retired from his life of being a gambler. It's all that he did. And he took all the winnings that he had gotten and he put them all together and he bought a great diamond of great value. He was on shipboard and making his way over to Europe where he was going to end up cashing that in. And he was going to set himself up in a great villa and be taken care of for the rest of his life. And as people got to talking on shipboard and their way across the Atlantic, he told people that he had been a great juggler as well as a gambler. And he picked some things up and he juggled them and that was good. And then he got out the diamond. He showed them the diamond, told this was his money. This was his fortune. This was his retirement. This was everything. And he got to throwing it. People said, whoa, wait a minute now. This don't do that. Oh, he said, I don't have to worry about that. And he got a little closer, got to the edge, and he threw it up in the air and caught it. Of course, they gasped. And he liked it, and he threw it up again, and he caught it. And he threw it up again, and he caught it. And then he threw it up, and about that time, a wave hit the side of the ship and knocked that side of the ship away from where he had thrown it. And he reached out to grab it, and it hit the end of his fingers. And plunged down into the ocean. And he saw it sink beneath the waves. You say, what stupidity. Well, how stupid is it for a person whose most valuable possession is his soul that's going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell? To be in a service like this where you could come to Jesus Christ and have the free gift of eternal life so that whenever you die, you are ready for heaven, ready for glory, and yet to walk out without Jesus Christ, the only hope for your soul, the one who paid with his death, burial, and resurrection so that you could have life. The one who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet you leave still without him. Let me tell you, that man was a wise man compared to you. Right. To walk out without Christ? What folly. You see, the important thing is what you do in life. For again, the verse is appointed unto man once to die after this judgment. So, what are you going to do before you die? Have you been born again? If not, you need to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. I heard somebody say the other day, Well, I don't believe you necessarily have to be born again. I don't believe it's an event. Some people are just born Christians. Nobody's born a Christian. You see, if that's the case, it would make Jesus a liar. You realize if that person, what they're saying is true, then Jesus can't save anybody because no liar is going to take people to heaven. A liar would be a sinner on their own and couldn't even pay for their own salvation. No, Jesus said it right. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. You must be born again. And you don't do it after you die. You've got to be born again now. That's a decision for Jesus Christ, which is absolutely necessary if you want to go to heaven. Now, friend, you're going to die. I can't stop you from dying, but I can give you the truth that'll take you to heaven. This life is only so long, only so many years. But eternity never ends. What I'm giving you today, what I'm offering you today, is eternal life. To be with God in heaven for all eternity. And it's simply by coming to Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you want to trust the politicians, if you want to trust the liberal theologians and not Jesus, I'm sorry, you're dumber than that gambler. Christ is your only hope. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lessons learned from our first cemetery. Lord, please deal with hearts today. Now, Lord, you know who here is saved and who is lost. And I pray, dear God, you'd convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Dear Heavenly Father, please. No matter how much fame someone here may garner by having some kind of web blog somewhere, how many followers they may have or likes or friends or whatever, if they die without Jesus, they'll burn for eternity anyway. Pray they come to Jesus today, please. God, I pray for Christians today. All right, we have Christ. We're going to heaven. But Lord, we need to make this life count for you. So Lord, deal with our hearts. That during this time, these lessons will be learned. Have your way in every life. For I plead it in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many can say this morning by simply raising your hand, well, thank God, preacher, if I died right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'd go to heaven. I have taken Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony of the Lord? You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven when you die. God bless you. Thank you very much. You may put them down. That's always a wonderful sight. But for those who couldn't raise your hand, listen, dear friend, you could have this settled. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wrote these things not because he wanted to scare you with hell. He wrote it because he wants you to have eternal life with him. And he says, you can know it. Is there someone this morning that simply by raising your hand, you'd be saying to me, preacher, I don't have it settled. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I do want to go to heaven when I die. Please remember me in prayer. Would you slip your hand up where I could see it and then put it back down? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I just don't know for sure. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Just slip up your hand. There might be somebody watching over the internet right now, and you're thinking, well, I don't know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Why don't you call us? Our number should be on the screen. You can call us. Somebody will be by the phone. They're glad to take the Bible and tell you how you can have Christ as Savior. Are there some Christians today who'd say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm not living for Christ as I should. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up right now? Would you do that? I'd like to pray for you. God bless you. Several hands, different sections of the auditorium. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you. Thank God if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, do a work in hearts. Save the lost, we pray today. And may God's people want to get right with you. Have your way now in every life. In Jesus' name, amen.